Turning to 1 Samuel, chapter 17. And we have in this chapter the great encounter between David and Goliath. 1 Samuel 17, and we'll read these from the verse 1. Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle, were gathered together at Shoco, which belongeth to Judah, pitched between Shoco and Zekah in Ephes Damim. Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on the one side, and Israel stood on the mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them. And there went out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines, named Goliath of Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. And he had an helmet of brass upon his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail, and the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of brass. And he had greaves of brass upon his legs, and a target of brass between his shoulders. The staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and the spear's head weighed 600 shekels of iron, and one bearing a shield went before him. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am I not a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. If he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. The Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man, that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. Now David was the son of that Ephrathite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, and he had 8 sons, and the man went among men, for an old man in the days of Saul. The 3 eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle. The names of his 3 sons that went to the battle were Eliab, firstborn, and next on to him, Abinadab, and the 3rd, Shammah. David was the youngest. 3 eldest followed Saul. But David went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. The Philistine drew near morning and evening and presented himself 40 days. Jesse said unto David his son, Take now for thy brethren an ephah of this parched corn, and these ten loaves, and run to the camp to thy brethren, and carry these 10 cheeses unto the captain of their 1,000, and look how thy brethren fare, and take their pledge. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah, fighting with the Philistines. David rose up early in the morning, and left the sheep with the keeper, and took and went as Jesse had commanded him, and he came to the trench, as the host was going forth to the fight, and shouted for the battle. For Israel and the Philistines had put the battle in array, army against army. David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage, and ran into the army and came and saluted his brethren. As he talked with them, behold, there came up the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him, and were sore afraid. The men of Israel said, Have ye seen this man that has come up? Surely to defy Israel is he come up. And it shall be that the man who killeth him The king will enrich him with great riches, and will give him his daughter, and make his father's house free in Israel. David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, What shall be done to the man that killeth this Philistine, and taketh away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? People answered him after this manner, saying, So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And Eliab his eldest brother heard when he spake unto the men. Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, Why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou led those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. And David said, What have I now done? Is there not a cause? And he turned from him toward another, and spake after the same manner. And the people answered him again after the former manner. When the words were heard which David spake, they rehearsed them before Saul, and he sent for him. David said to Saul, Let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, Thou art not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for thou art but a youth, and he a man of war from his youth. David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Saul said unto David, Go, and the Lord be with thee. Amen. We'll end the reading there. Trust in the Lord will add his blessing to the reading of his own precious word. We'll turn again, please, to 1 Samuel and the chapter 17. 1 Samuel and the chapter 17. And we'll read the verse 8. 1 Samuel 17 and verse 8. And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel, and said unto them, Why are ye come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you, and let him come down to me. Choose you a man for you, and let him come down me. We'll seek the Lord's face together, please, in prayer. We need the Lord's help. As we come around his word, let us seek his face, please. Our gracious Father, we thank thee for the overcoming that thou dost give to the people of God. We thank thee that we have been saved, that we might live fighting from victory to victory. We pray, dear Lord, that each one of us this evening will be given a heart of David, filled with courage. We will rise and stand for our Lord in this evil day. Lord, grant us help as we come to thy word. Give that enablement of the Holy Spirit of God. Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. For 40 days, the army of Israel had been in great fear. For 40 days, they had heard the challenge of the great Philistine Goliath coming with his words of defiance. Now while he was a mighty man of strength, while he was a mighty champion, and surely there was a sense in which he was cowardly. As he set that challenge before the children of Israel, he didn't say, send me a group of Israelites that I might fight with. But he was determined that it would be a conflict between one man and one man. The strategy that he was setting forth then was one of representation. He was saying that in this battle, that he would be the representative of the Philistines. And he was challenging the Israelites then that they would set forth one who would be their representative. In those terms, Goliath thought that certain victory was his. His height was 6 cubits and a span, 9 feet 9 inches, almost 3 meters tall. There was none like him for height among the children of Israel. The best we could say that they had was Saul. Remember how he was head and shoulders above the rest. Jonathan certainly had known victory over some of the Philistines, but like everyone else, he was afraid. Goliath had great height. He also had great strength, as is demonstrated in his ability to carry the huge weight of armor that's described in verses 5, 6, and 7. And so in light of this certainty that he felt in his own heart, I'm certain to win, he then set forth this challenge at the end of verse 8. Choose you a man for you. Towards the middle of verse 10, give me a man that we may fight together. What Goliath did was that he was requesting a man. God had his man already. As Goliath was setting forth this challenge, you choose a man, you give me a man. God already had made his choice. And God would give to Goliath his man. So as we saw last week, God provided a man to play music for Saul. David, the man of the heart. So God would provide a man to fight Goliath. David, man with the sling. And so there in the hills of Bethlehem, it says that David only had 2 instruments that we read, the sling and the harp. And yet there were mighty instruments as they were then in the hand of God. As Goliath asked for a man then, it was this issue of requesting a man that stirred David's heart. If you look at verse 25, the men of Israel said, have you seen this man that has come up surely to defy Israel as he come up? And it shall be that the man who killeth him, the king will enrich. Verse 26, David spake to the men that stood by him, saying, what shall be done to the man kill up this Philistine and take away the reproach? So he heard these words. This is what will happen to the man. David responded, what will be done to such a man? And the answer came at the end of verse 27. So shall it be done to the man that killeth him. And as David then went to Saul, and he said, here I am, thy servant. Really he was saying, I am the man. I am the one that God has provided. So Goliath said, choose me, give. Saul was standing helpless, saying, I cannot choose. I cannot give. But David came. He said, I will be man. So as Goliath had thundered over that valley, was not aware, God has his man. And for 40 days they were tested, the number 40 signifying so often the idea of testing. God would come to their aid, for he had his representative for Israel. And that then was David, the son of Jesse. And as David then went out against Goliath, he went on behalf of the nation of Israel. As David went out against Jesse, he went in the Lord's name. We could say in flesh, he was there as God's representative on the earth in that battlefield. Now remember, David is a wonderful type of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this great victory then of David not only sets forth the victories that you and I are to enjoy as God's people, but more importantly, the great victory of Jesus Christ over his enemies. And as he engaged and will engage in conflict, he goes on behalf of his people. And he goes as the great representative of God. And I see an eschatological fulfillment in this portion, that is, in relation to the end times, the days leading up to our Lord's return and the Lord's return itself. You think of how Goliath spoke words of blasphemy. Revelation 13:6, speaking of the beast, he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God to blaspheme his name and his tabernacle and them that dwell in heaven. And doesn't Goliath have such similarities to what is described there? What is God going to do? Christ will come as the great representative, and he will finally destroy Antichrist and everything that opposes Christ. There will be great victory then, Christ's return at the end of the age. But I also see a redemptive fulfillment in this portion. Of course, that eschatological fulfillment is an account of this redemptive fulfillment. What happens at Calvary? Our Lord Jesus Christ went forth as the great representative. He went as God's man for that need. He was God manifest in the flesh. But he also went on behalf of his people. The man, Christ Jesus. Christ went forth then to Calvary to conquer our great enemy. Now while David and Goliath had never personally met before, Goliath was the representative of a very ancient enemy. If you look in verse 4 of the chapter, it describes Goliath being a Goliath of Gath. Now, who were the giants from Gath? They were the Anakims. Numbers 13, it speaks there of the report of the spies. Numbers 13:33, and there we saw the giants, the sons of Anak. And remember then in Joshua chapter 11, there was great victory over the sons of Anak, but they were not entirely wiped out. And so in Joshua 11:22, there were none of the Anakims left in the land of the children of Israel. Only in Gaza, in Gath, and in Ashdod. That was Philistine territory. Isn't it wonderful how all scripture comes together? Where did this Philistine come from? This giant came from Gath, where the Anakims had fled to. He was then an ancient foe. And who is Satan? That ancient foe. And from the very fall of man, there has been that great enmity between God and the forces of darkness, Satan himself. Genesis 3:15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And at Calvary then Christ lifted his foot, as it were, and he crushed the head of Satan. This one splendid. Goliath has, the very name Goliath has an idea of splendor. And Satan then, the angel of light, Lucifer, the one of splendor, Christ lifted his foot and crushed Satan's head. Christ defeated him as the representative. And so we want to look at the remainder of the time this evening at David as a type of Christ, our representative. I want to see, first of all, the revealing of the representative. For if we think of David stepping onto the stage of this very dramatic chapter here, he was sent by the father. Verse 17, Jesse said unto David his son, take now for thy brethren. And he commanded him to go. He was sent by the father. He came bearing gifts. He came bringing sustenance. He came under the anointing of the Spirit. He was still that man that was anointed by the Spirit. He came to be scorned by his brethren. He came to overcome man's reasoning. Remember how Saul said, it cannot be done. Saul said, you'll need the armor. There was all of this reasoning of man, but David overcame. In all of this, we do see a wonderful type of Christ. He was sent into this world by the Father. He came bearing gifts. He came under the anointing of the Spirit. He came to be rejected by his own. He came to overcome man's reasoning. A few weeks back, we looked at those words in Matthew 16, where Peter was advising the Lord against the cross. And remember how the Lord said to him, get thee behind me, Satan. And Peter's sin there was trying to prevent the cross. But Christ overcame the reasoning of man. As there was that advice, it cannot be done this way. You must do it another way. Christ overcame. As we see David revealed there then on that battlefield, we see his obedience. The Father sent him. See his promptness. When the Father sent him, he rose up early. He didn't dilly-dally for days thinking about it. As he was sent, we see his zeal. He ran into the camp. And again, wasn't this the manner of Christ, our representative? The Father sent him, Christ obeyed. Prompt. Great zeal, he set his face as a flint. And so, in the revealing of the representative, we see something of our Lord Jesus Christ. But I want to move on then and see the revulsion of the representative. What was it that compelled David to destroy Goliath? What was it that really burned in David's heart, saying this enemy must be destroyed? It was the fact that Goliath had defied, as he called it, the armies of the living God. And so in verse 25, the people of Israel, they were saying to David, surely to defy Israel has he come up. And defying Israel, towards the middle of verse 26, it says there was a reproach upon Israel. But as David meditated over this, he saw it as more than divine Israel. So he said at the end of verse 27 that this man was defying the armies of the living God.
and defying the armies of the living God. He was defying God himself. See, that's then what stirred David's heart. Here is a man who is defying Israel, yes, but he is defying the very name of Almighty God.
So in verse 45, and then said David to the Philistine, "Thou comest to me with the sword and with the spear and with the shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied."
You've defied the very God of heaven.
Now, what was the great motivation in our representative? What was the great motivation in Jesus Christ in going to Calvary to stand there as our representative and to go against our great enemy, the devil?
The great motivation was the honor of the Father. John 17, verse 1.
Jesus prays, "Father, the hour is come. Glorify thy Son, that thy Son also may glorify thee." And Christ then, in his determination to go to the cross, he said, "Glorify me, that you may be glorified." His great desire was after the honor of God, because he saw that Satan was set on bringing a reproach on the very name of the great Creator, the Almighty. If you notice in verse 1, as it speaks of the location of the Philistine army, towards the middle of verse 17, it speaks of Shoko being the place that belongeth to Judah. The very place where Goliath stood was the territory of Judah, the territory of the people of God. And here came Goliath, the intruder, the usurper. We go back to the very beginning of God's word. The very first time that we read of Satan in the form of the serpent. Where is he? He's in the Garden of Eden, in the very territory of God. And just as Goliath stood in the territory of Judah, desiring to take all of Israel to be its servant, so then Satan stood there in the territory of God in Eden, desiring to take all of mankind to be his. Praise God, Christ entered into conflict with Satan. He went forth as our representative, because he was desirous after the honor of God. Now, out of all of us, there has come this redemption. But the great motivation was the honor of God. And seeking to take this and apply it to ourselves, you remember how Peter said that we are to follow in the Lord's steps, 1 Peter 2:21. What is to be our purpose in going against the enemy? What is to be our purpose in dealing with sin in our lives? And seeking to take souls from the dominion of sin? Our great motivation is to be the honor of God. Sin in our life that is tolerated by us is an affront to the honor of God. Souls that are left under the dominion of Satan, it's an attack on the honor of God. God created us to live for his glory. And as the enemy then has come into God's territory, he must be defeated. The Lord's name is to be honored. So then, as we battle against the enemy, as we seek to deal with our bitterness, as we seek to deal with sin in our lives, with anger, with resentment, we do it because we recognize that as these sins are tolerated,
Lord's name is made reproach.
A dishonor is being done to the great name of our God. There is to be that repulsion in our hearts. So we see the rebellion of the representative, the revulsion of the representative. I want to see then, thirdly, the reliance of the representative. For as David went out, his reliance was not on the other men in the army of Israel. They were standing back in fear. His reliance was not upon the armor that Saul sought him to take. David said, I've never proved. I've never put it to the test. His reliance was not in help from Saul. Saul was a man that was out of touch with God. If you look at verse 37, as David spoke words of testimony of what the Lord had done for him, towards the end of that verse, Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with you. Do you think of this?
The very man that spoke those words at that time knew nothing of what it was to have the Lord. The Lord had departed from Saul.
And Saul could certainly say the right words. Go, David, the Lord will be with you. It was true. Here was a man that was out of touch with God. A man that could say the right words but had no experience of the truth of them.
David then was not relying on Saul's. Not on the help of the armor, not on the help
of the army of Israel. His reliance was upon the Lord. So he went to that brook. He took the 5 stones. He put them in the bag. He went out against the enemy. And in verse 45, then said David to the Philistine, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield. But I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. I come in the Lord's name. Verse 46, this day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. Verse 47, all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's. And he will give you into our hands. And David then went out with this proof impressed in his heart. I rely. Wasn't it the same during our Lord's ministry as he was making his way towards Calvary? He wasn't upheld by the comfort of the disciples. They sought to turn him from the cross. He wasn't held by the schemes of men. His reliance was upon God because he saw this great battle that was to be engaged, this great conflict that he would go through in the garden, in the trial, and in Calvary itself, that battle is the Lord's battle. That battle was God's great plan to deal with the great enmity of Satan. What wonderful application there is for us today. As David dared not rely on the help of men, so we dare not rely on the help of men to go against our enemy. We dare not rely on the methods of men. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal. They're not worldly. But they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. We cannot deal with our enemy through the plans of men. God has given a mighty and effective armor in our Lord Jesus Christ himself. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, the devices of men
are so in us.
Praise God.
The Lord gives that special assistance. Surely so often in the face of battle,
we are like the army of Israel.
We are like the brothers of David. We're full of fear.
We see the enemy towering over us. We see the might of the enemy. And like the nation of Israel, we feel we have no power.
Because we have lost out with God.
And surely that was the problem with Israel from Saul down. They had lost out with God. What a pitiful sight it was as they went to battle.
I'd never really thought of this before, but if you look at verse 13, there's a most lamentable clause. It says in verse 13, "And the three eldest sons of Jesse went and followed Saul to the battle."
Now we can take those words in their literal meaning, and we see those men literally following Saul to battle.
And that is true. But wasn't there more to it? As Saul went without power, as Saul went without the Lord,
so did those three elder brothers and the nation.
He went without the Lord. No wonder they were full of fear. Perhaps we're not only like those three, but we're even like Eliab specifically. Verse 28. Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the man. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David, and he said, "Why camest thou down hither? With whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness?" And the implication is that you're really a nobody, that all you were doing was looking after a few sheep. And though David had a few sheep, he was responsible. He'd left them in the hands of a keeper. He then says, "I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle."
Now when Eliab spoke those words, he thought he was speaking about David. Back when you look at the words carefully, Eliab wasn't speaking about David. He was speaking about himself.
Now, he didn't realize that.
Very often when we have anger against another, when we speak words against another, in all reality, the very words that we speak condemn ourselves. He asked, "Why camest thou down hither?"
Shouldn't Eliab have asked that question of himself? What are you doing here? He went on to say, "I know thy pride." The one that was proud was Eliab. "I know the naughtiness of thine heart." It says then, "For thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle." Now David had been sent by his father to bring back a report.
We could see the human aspect to this, a father that was concerned.
And Sir David had come to see and bring a report. But when he did come, he did more than see. It was David that did the doing. Who was it then that just came to look?
Eliab was the one that was doing the looking, doing nothing about what that was before. It's very easy for us to see everyone else's sin and condemn it. Something else to see our own hearts and to no longer tolerate it.
Well, to be able to drive out, that's it. We need this reliance upon the Lord, that we would go in His name.
So
we have the rebellion of the representative, the revulsion of the representative, the reliance of the representative. But I want to see then finally, very quickly, the reward for the representative. In verse 25, it speaks there towards the middle of the verse that one of the gifts to the man that would kill Goliath would be that he would be enriched and the king would give him his daughter. He would be given a bride. And his father's house would be free in Israel. There would be exaltation. And perhaps we'll come back and see more of this the next time. But you think of David. As he went out, he was to be given the bride. But when we know the story of what follows, the bride wasn't really the greatest asset. She wasn't the best gift that could have been given to David. As we think of our Lord Jesus Christ as he went out against the devil, he's been given a bride. That bride is you and I. If we truly understand ourselves, there's something of Michal in us. Yet Christ delighted in that reward. Today he is exalted at the right hand of God. He is exalted as the Lion, the tribe of Judah. Some commentators bring out that as David went against Goliath, he was bold as a lion. And they base that on Proverbs 28 verse 1. The wicked flee when no man pursues, but the righteous are bold as a lion. And there in Israel was much flee. But then there came forth the lion. The righteous are bold as a lion. Now David was a lion. So too was Goliath. You think of how he was roaring out threats. You think of how he was out to devour the nation of Israel. As he stood there on that hill, he was impressed. He was arrogant. The devil is like a roaring lion. He is seeking to devour. But praise God, there is a lion that is greater than he. The Lion of the tribe of Judah. Jesus Christ then is overcome. He is the great victor. We see Jesus Christ then tonight as our representative. How is he spoken of in glory? He is there in glory as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. He stands there as the victor. He's our representative. His presence there is a great guarantee that we shall be with him. And his reward. Praise God today. The victory has been won in Christ. We trust the Lord will take his word and bless it to all of us.